Good morning, everyone. Almost noon, I guess, but still morning. And this is a work session on, I forgot to look at what the case number is, PU21-152, which is the Advanced Determination of Prudence from NSP. And I don't have any opening things except for to congratulate the new president of the National Association of Regulatory Utility Commissioners, our own Commissioner Julie Fedorchak. I sensed a really overwhelming excitement about your presidency at the NARUC meeting. So congratulations, Julie.
Well, thank you, Randy. I appreciate that. And I appreciated your guys' support at the convention or the conference and before and since. So thank you very much for all of that and looking forward to it. We're off and running and, with or without a voice.
And before we get into the work session, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
I don't.
Okay.
No.
Commissioner Haugenhoffert, I will just turn this over to you for whatever, anything else outside of the case that you wanted to mention or just dig right into the cases. It's your portfolio.
Yeah. Well, I just want to echo Randy's congratulations, Julie. It's proud to stand with you and support you in any way we can. Heard wonderful things about you and your direction in which you're leading NARUC and guiding this ship. So just we're proud of you, and we look forward to the leadership and accomplishing great things. And I look forward to regulatory Olympics coming soon to NARUC. So,
thank you.
Yeah. As Randy said, this is a work session on the advanced prudence of this solar farm. Interesting case. This is my first case on advanced prudence, so it's quite interesting for me to learn, and I heard not all of them are this way, so that's good to know. I, as a portfolio holder, I look at it this way. We have, you know, the company submitting it and wanting the approval of it. We have advocacy staff that has submitted and said it's not prudent, and looking at, you know, the recommendation of a denial of it. So weeding through this, I look at, and I'm interested in my fellow commissioners' point of view on looking at this when this was initially submitted. We have some, I'm just going to recap what I call some delays, just information, additional information coming in, the MISO constraints on seasonal accreditation. And Julie can, you know, being more on the MISO side, look at that and the impacts of that on this. But also looking at the IA Inflation Reduction Act coming into play during this on the impacts of this project, what that means on it being prudent. So it's like you have one side, then the other side, and then I look at all the information in that has come in and the impact that plays on it. So I think it does have an impact on it. And I'm just going to kind of say it there. And the one question, I know Robert and I talked about some questions yesterday. Maybe I'm going to, those questions that you and I talked about, recap those questions and kind of what you found out and why we looked at some of that. I'm putting you on the spot there, but and while he's...
Oh, sure. Thank you. Yeah, we talked about a few questions. I think this is a unique case in the way that initially when this was filed, it was strictly the prudence was not there for the project. And it's since the delay, this has been, it's changed throughout the years here to where Now, an argument can be made that it has prudence at this point in time as the cheapest option to fulfill a capacity need in planning for the future. So that has implications there as far as where is the point where you look at this argument. On one side is that you look at it when this was initially proposed, was it prudent given that time frame? Or do you look at it right now and say that given where the situation is now, this would be a prudent decision? In addition to that, it has different proposals for proxy pricing as far as what would the appropriate way to recover this, if any, in the interim time frame. And so we had some of those questions, what the appropriate proxy pricing would be. So we kind of get into the nitty-gritty of the proposal of whether NSP is looking at industry standard, the MISO cone, so a greenfield CT as the proxy pricing versus the advocacy position of that needs to be a brownfield CT, and then also at net cone, taking away the market revenues and that to reflect the capacity revenues of the project or of what it would be to isolate the capacity element to it. So there's a lot of different things to consider in there as far as what would be appropriate. So hopefully that answered or summed up kind of what we talked about yesterday.
Yeah. So I don't know, Randy or Julie, I'll turn it where you guys are at. I mean, as far as what you're thinking and kind of open up more discussion or...
So one of the things that I've, you know, just watched this back and forth over is advocacy staff saying that being adamant of not just granting the ADP, but then, you know, with the as far as the proxy pricing part, saying that the company's proposal of basing it on like a new greenfield plant is inappropriate because it should be based on the cost of a brownfield development. And the company saying, in effect, that, well, we can't do that because we don't have a brownfield development to base it on. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Well, as far as advocacy's position, they would also recommend not approving the proxy pricing, but if you decided to base it on the brownfield, that's correct, yeah.
Okay, and explain the process if it were a complete denial of what would happen then as far as long-term impacts. What would happen in the next rate case or something if we deny this at this point? But then whatever energy, you know, and make the assumption that they build it anyway. Because I think that's probably relatively safe. So now that energy is entering the market and North Dakota consumers are part of the market. So what would happen in the next rate case?
That's a good question. I'm not quite sure what the ins and outs of that would be because it's a complicated matter as far as that's concerned. I would think that we would have the ability to be able to still carve out what we wouldn't want to recover. And so however that is hashed out, is that a fair assessment, Jack?
Maybe I didn't ask the question. These two are arguing over what's the if there's going to be a proxy price, what's fair and what isn't. Would that be something that could potentially be looked at in a rate case to figure out is there some fair amount that they should be allowed to recover from North Dakota consumers?
Yes, that could be looked at in a subsequent rate case.
And that's what advocacy staff was recommending, that it be looked at in a rate case.
Right.
I mean, that. So what's this is 460 megawatt solar, and if they're looking down, what was the capacity of Sherco 1 and 2?
I don't have that offhand, but they're coal units, so that would have been somewhere 80-90% or something like that. Depending on seasonal, that's still in flux too. Mm-hmm. So I know that we have to pick a point in time to be assessing those, and we can't make decisions necessarily on the thing that's in flux like that. Or, I mean, we can make an educated guess, but it's much higher than the solar. Right.
But that's the capacity factor, I think.
Or
were you asking about, like, what was their
accreditation
nameplate
right.
capacity?
Yep.
How big were those plants,
yep.
I think, is
yep.
her question.
I don't have that offhand.
I don't have that offhand either. It's like,
and I don't recall either.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a 1.2.
I mean, I don't even know if it's in here. I mean, you know, they kind of seem to have they've made their decision to close it, and so I don't know if they even addressed what the nameplate of those plants were.
I was just curious because looking at the replacement of it. Do you have anything? Go ahead, Julie.
I think the issue for this is what their identified capacity need is for 2026. I think that was like 280 or something, 260, something like that, megawatts. I can't recall, but so from my perspective, there's just a bunch of things that come kind of collide in this case. The first being the company's decision to close the Sherco units, which is not something that we've deemed prudent. So we haven't accepted any accelerated depreciation for those retirements or anything like that. So that closure, which we haven't deemed prudent, is what's driving the capacity need. So it's challenging for me to get to a place where I can say that this is a prudent choice for replacing a capacity need that we haven't even acknowledged is, we haven't even really even said that that's our ratepayers should be paying for that. Shutting down of Sherco early. And then when you get to, so like the whole issue that advocacy staff raised about this wasn't prudent when they filed it, so it doesn't matter that that's changed. Like, I don't like that argument. To me, the company came back and added to the record the facts that they say create a more prudent price for this resource, which is certainly one of the criteria for prudency, but it's not all of them. And when you're looking at a capacity resource, you need to look at the accreditation of it as being part of the prudency decision. And the truth of the matter is, we don't know what this accreditation is going to be. And the company makes a point that their summer peaking. And so solar is a good resource in the summer, so the capacity credits will be valuable to them for their summer peak. However, MISO has seasonal capacity requirements, and solar in the winter is very minimal, very small, if any, value. So whatever winter capacity needs the company has will have to be provided by something, most largely something that isn't solar. And so, and those winter seasonal capacity requirements are pretty substantial. Because that's where we're seeing all the reliability challenges. So MISO's really focusing on the winter, and I don't see that changing. So they're going to have some sort of a resource that provides capacity in the winter. In my opinion, whatever resource that is will probably also address the summer capacity needs that MISO has identified that they say this project will fill. So why would we ask our customers to pay for both, whatever's needed to fill the winter capacity and whatever's, and then this one to address the summer capacity? I get why Minnesota has a solar requirement, so the company needs to do this. So they, you know, want to count it for that and do it for that reason. But that's not a North Dakota policy. And so I just don't think it's prudent for our customers to be buying this capacity for the company. So that's on the prudency part in general. In terms of proxy pricing, I'd need to understand the risk, if there's any risks to customers of waiting to decide it in a rate case. I'd like to explore those if it makes more sense to come up with a methodology for a proxy price now versus leaving it up to the time at a rate case where we can look at this more broadly and look at what's happening in the system more broadly. But, you know, generally speaking, I guess I'm still undecided on the proxy pricing issue.
I will just throw in on that, because we're close to the same point. I will say the proxy price based on the greenfield development that the company proposed, that I know I'm not in favor of. I would need to be at something other.
Me too, Randy.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think there was a consensus, what I understood, on some of this as far as especially the impact. And I know Robert and I talked about this yesterday, like the risk to the customers waiting for a rate case as far as looking at that and what we can do to what staff can do on exploring that further as far as giving us some insight into that to evaluate if we are looking at proxy pricing, the impacts there.
Just to go back, we did find the capacity, nameplate capacity for Sherco 1 and 2. They're both roughly about 680. So that was the...
680 apiece?
Mm-hmm. Oh. It was the 1.3 gigawatts in my mind, but I wasn't sure about that.
Good memory.
Can't trust it, though. Too many numbers float around in there.
I don't have any further comments on this. Randy?
Do you feel like you have clarity that you need for moving forward to bring an order?
Well, I think there's a few things Robert and I still need to review. I think as far as the prudency, I think there's clarity, but... the proxy pricing, I need more clarity, the impacts on the North Dakota customers.
To me, the company hasn't, I mean, they've, it's sort of like in the company's mind as I read these things, they're giving us two options. You know, grant the ADP or the proxy pricing based on a greenfield, and I frankly am ready to just say no to that. And
to both?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And deal with it. I guess the next step would be either some new case they might file or a rate case. So far, they haven't been forthcoming with another alternative, so I really don't have another alternative to weigh except for the what advocacy staff had recommended as a potential different proxy price, although they're not really in favor of it either, to which the company said, well, that won't work. So, I mean, this case is, you know, pretty old already. I mean, the company, a lot of that delay was waiting on the federal and worldwide changes with supply chain and different federal laws and stuff. But seeing as how another alternative hasn't been presented, I guess I would be ready to close out the case.
Jack or Robert, do you guys have any thoughts on the risks that we might be subjecting customers to if we wait and set a proxy price for this resource at the next rate case? I mean, what should we be thinking through there?
I don't have that assessment offhand where I'd be comfortable in saying something definitive about that, but we can look into that fairly quickly and get a better understanding of that.
And that's what I was looking at as far as the second part of it, to dig into that a little bit better, to understand if there are risks.
You're looking for quantifiable
yep.
numbers. Yep.
Julie, what I would anticipate, I mean, I guess what we have is we had a rate case in 20, finished up in 2021. We set the revenue requirements, so the company is getting returns on that plus riders on the interim, which will continue. I don't think the risk, and again, what we can follow up on this, is would largely be on the customers. I guess the risk may be that we could get an earlier rate case as a result of this. But I would anticipate largely the concern would be on the company side for not recovering for that capacity on the interim.
When will this one go into service? And would it be likely that there'd be some sort of a charge being assessed to customers prior to a rate case? Because it's, you know, once it's used and useful, they can charge customers for it.
It's not determined to be used and useful until it's actually brought forward in a rate case. So with these, with advanced determination of prudence, it usually does not run through a rider until they're granted prudency as well, specifically for Northern States Power Company.
So if our customers are getting power from this, they're paying for it somehow, some price that the company is using.
I'm trying to think how this would actually flow back through. So if it's a PPA, obviously, it flows through a rider. Transmission flows through a rider. So we have the generation, renewable, and transmission rider. Those are the three, Rob.
Yep.
This one. If it's not actually placed within one of those riders, it is not flowing back to the customers, and their rates are set based upon the revenue requirement.
I got it.
I don't think it was set forth clearly exactly how this would be put onto a rider or whatnot. So.
Well, in the proposed order that they provided two orders. So the alternative one that provides for the proxy pricing, aside from the energy, the capacity was looked to be returned or recovered through the renewable rider on an annual basis.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I will just say from a more philosophical standpoint, and I know the company has worked hard on developing a plan that for decarbonization that they feel is prudent, but and probably more so than a lot of other companies in you know, the arena right now. I do think Xcel has been sincere in trying to figure out how to replace the resources that they want to retire and have more carbon-free resources. And so there's a disconnect between our states in terms of that. Being a goal with a deadline, a timeline on it. But that said, despite, you know, the fact that Xcel and Minnesota have worked to kind of come up with these plans to do this in an orderly way, there's enough things happening on the system as a whole that are not orderly that I think should give companies, even like Xcel, who has done planning, to pause and recognize, like, the system is fragile right now. And these units at Sherco, they're running. They're running a lot, their coal resources, which suggests that they're needed. And to just kind of barrel ahead, despite the warnings, with the continued plan to retire on their time frame, I don't think that's the only solution that's possible right now. And I wish that they would heed some of the warnings and slow down, even for a couple of years, to let the gas industry catch up. I mean, there just is not enough coordination with the gas industry to make this feasible. You know, there isn't enough pipelines and supply. We just don't have the resource to depend on like we need to in the winter. And so, you know, this is a turning point, and I really think Xcel should be reevaluating these plans and working and coming to the Minnesota Commission and asking for some reconsideration on some of the timelines of the retirements of their fossil units, just based on what's going on more broadly in the electricity sector and in the MISO region. I mean, MISO has warned many times, we need more capacity. We need to keep what we've got. Jim Robb from the electric, you know, NERC said at the tech conference, at the neighbor conference, the two things that America needs to do to avoid this, you know, pending disaster is get better at building things and at connecting new resources and keep what we have. And this is something that we have, and it's proven. So Xcel just should, quite honestly, they really should be reconsidering their plans on these, on their fossil units right now. So that's my soapbox for the day.
One thing that may be worthwhile discussing, Rob, if you could walk us through the modeling, the alternative model, and the resource additions that we may be looking at as a result of this. We were just kind of pointing out as we walked into the work session, but we didn't have an opportunity to discuss it extensively. What the model shows for the Minnesota externality model, as well as the North Dakota model with those externalities removed.
So you want me to walk through just year by year that the need that the company has projected? Or
you could even just walk through the North Dakota version generally what the company at least proposed that we'd be seeing with a North Dakota model with the externalities removed.
Yeah, even with the externalities removed, with the latest modeling, NSP's alternative plan for North Dakota does say that there is a projected need in 2024 of 650 megawatts of solar, and then in 25 they have 200 megawatts of solar and 60 for firm peaking as well. And then 2026, the 259 of firm peaking. And then it ramps up from there. Do you want me to go through the whole thing, or is it?
No, I think that's probably fine. I just thought that might be useful information for the purposes of just, you know, as you guys are evaluating and thinking about this. The other aspect is, I guess, even though we point this out in, as part of the advanced determinations of prudence, this is useful information, I mean, for looking at the resource. But I mean, this really kind of ties into our, the discussion that we've had in the past about that we maybe an integrated resource plan would be a great place to start with a lot of these. And I know we have a lot of outstanding proceedings, advanced determinations of prudence with Northern States Power Company, that, you know, there's a certain level of complexity from the standpoint that we still have that outstanding order requiring them to make the filing, that we may want to consider, not necessarily as part of this proceeding, but after this, separate from this proceeding, whether we would like them to continue, force them to essentially come forward with ADPs in all of those situations for the transmission and generation resources. And the point I'm really trying to get at is where is the most appropriate place to address a lot of this discussion and these issues that we're looking at, whether this is, whether it's a rate case, whether it's an integrated resource plan, or whether it's a piecemeal decision by decision through advanced determinations of prudence. And I guess that's more of an administrative question.
So on the externalities removed, did that assume that they keep the Sherco units though?
No.
No.
I assume that they eliminated them.
They are retired. Right. Yep.
Right. And I anticipate that we probably ran a model that would look different than that, even from North Dakota version, from our own base level. But it's worth looking at still. The other thing that maybe I'd like to point out as well is in discussion of proxy pricing, I don't think that that's an unreasonable consideration, whether it's here or in the future. I know that at least two of the commissioners here were involved in the RTF, the Resource Treatment Framework. That was prior to Rob. And the company did come forward and discussed extensively some of the issues that would be coming forward. And proxy pricing was one of the heavily discussed solutions to addressing this essentially divergent paths. If you remember, there was the full legal separation, there was a pseudo separation, and there was, let's just continue as is. At that time, I think after doing an evaluation, the opinion was that it was going to be pretty far down the road before we formally have to make a decision. And there were a lot of policy changes that could occur, whether on the federal level, market changes, that with those changes that we may not need to necessarily take a very drastic action at that point in time. If my recollection is correct, I think that probably these issues are going to arise faster than we thought they did. I think these multi-jurisdictional issues. And so not that it necessarily needs to be addressed formally here, that is worth maybe continuing to think about even prior to the next rate case, the manner in which we would like to proceed. Maybe there's something, whether we need to revisit this and how we may address those multi-jurisdictional divergent policies.
Jack, you bring up a good question on the proxy pricing, and I agree with you. That's a productive way to move forward between, you know, with a, in a way that eliminates some of the uncertainty for the company and allows them to have a more clear signal from North Dakota where we're at, what our expectations are, so they can plan. How was there a way to look at just that issue, set that one aside on this case? Or do you know, and kind of dig into just that more?
Sure. Are you asking about opening up a separate docket just to consider proxy pricing on this or in multiple resources?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I just need to, I mean, we need to be thoughtful about it and clear, but, you know, I noted in the advocacy staff's brief, they said that whatever proxy pricing here would, you know, the commission should specify that it's not non-precedential or so it doesn't apply to future cases.
Sure.
I just, yeah, I don't feel like I've thought through the proxy pricing enough lately since we kind of set it aside after the RTF stuff.
Yeah, it definitely isn't fresh in our minds at this point.
No, but it is really important. So how's the best way? Do we do one here and one at the next one and the next one? Do we make a decision on everything except for the proxy pricing on this and then deal with proxy pricing separately? I mean, what are the options?
I guess those are probably all the options, whether we'd like to address them separately or whether we would like to go back to creating some sort of providing guidance, a framework for how certain resources should be proxy priced. Probably those are the two main options right there.
Part of me is, I'm not sure how to get there either, because it seems like there should be something that is, you know, I don't know if it's precedential or not, but gives us some idea of how we, and companies some idea of how we evaluate these things, maybe not set in stone that it's a formula that just works for every case, but some concept. I don't know how to get there in this case. Now, I hadn't thought of opening a new docket to just take that on ourselves and figure out what is a good way to evaluate proxy pricing. I had only thought of the potential that I suppose if we deny this, it somehow, some way ends up coming up in a rate case in the end. But within the parameters of this case, it seems to me there's been that the companies would want to be involved in that discussion. And in this case, the company has refused to go into that discussion beyond, here is how you do a proxy price, and it's based on a new greenfield development. And other than that, they have rejected it, that we can't do that. We don't, what advocacy staff propose, we just don't have one, so it doesn't work. But they really only gave us one alternative, and so I whether it's our own docket in the meantime or waiting for a rate case or addressing it in a different ADP, I don't know which is the best way. I don't see how, other than just continuing to drag this case on for more time, I don't know how to do it in this case.
I would say that the company did provide, and granted, we were focusing heavily on the latter part of the docket in the hearing and so forth. They did go into a couple different options for proxy pricing earlier on, I think, in the application and testimony, obviously with a strong preference for the Greenfield site. So they did spend.
And I apologize for that.
If the commission would like to set something aside and continue, I guess, investigating this issue, we could on the interim. And maybe it would be worthwhile to have staff sit down and look at maybe how many outstanding, I guess, resources that we may have divergent positions on. Because there really are only three, it may be worthwhile just to take them one by one. If we're looking at a decade worth, it may be worthwhile to have a framework on it. So maybe we could come back with a recommendation to the commissioners if that would make them more comfortable.
And it just, you know, it's an interesting dialogue here. I hadn't really thought about that, but the whole concept of that, if you do something, make sure it's not precedential. But so much of what we do here is based on precedent, too. And so I always feel like in many instances, people say, like, oh, this is non-precedential, but it kind of becomes a precedent.
And referenced.
And so if we were to do something specific to this case, in the next one, if it has to do with proxy pricing, that's going to be brought up or referenced, as you say, as, oh, you know, here's kind of a precedent for it. And so maybe staff dealing with it as an overall thing having to do with proxy pricing of replacements and not having an open docket and how it fits with this with a specific case, it might actually be better than doing it in a specific case, because what works in this one might not be so good in another.
It's true. And
yeah, I like that idea on opening something up and looking at the framework for us as a commissioner, but it's got to be very confusing for companies too to say, you know, looking at it, you know, and get, as I think Commissioner Crispin said, you know, have companies provide some input too, you know, on that. But, you know, going forward, to have that framework and some more in-depth information to evaluate and determine, yeah. Any comments, Julie?
Sounds good to me.
So I just, before closing, I mean, I'll let you close it out, Commissioner Crispin, but the one takeaway I still have on this, to be clear, as portfolio holder and working with Robert, is still looking at, on this case, some proxy pricing, the risk to the customers, any, what risk there can be. Is that, are we still there? Is that, Julie, I think you initially brought that up.
I think we just mostly need to decide, yeah, conclude the, remove how we're going to move ahead on this case with the proxy pricing, if we're going to just put aside and work separately on proxy pricing or do the case by case.
Yeah, I kind of had understood that the risk is mostly to the company, not to the North Dakota consumers. And in a way, maybe to Minnesota consumers, because I suppose if they don't recover anything here, they would try to recover more in other jurisdictions. I don't know how they would do that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jack clarified kind of, because I was thinking wrongly that there would be some sort of price assigned to the customers if we didn't set it here, but he clarified that. So now it's more about the other, finding some sort of certainty for the company on how this and other resources that are, you know, contrary to what the commission sees as the right policies versus Minnesota. Like, we have to get a handle on that.
And I'll follow up on that risk to customers. I came in a little bit cold, just like the three of you, from flying back in late last night, and so I didn't have the opportunity to evaluate some of these aspects of the proxy pricing that I would have liked to have. And so I'll follow up with the three of you as well.
Okay. Anything more?
Nope.
Rob?
So from staff's perspective going forward, we have the two options that we're looking at of have something, we either determine something for the proxy pricing here, with particular to this case, or we're going to do something in general then to set the precedent as the two options. I'm sorry, I'm not clear about that. Am I doing one or the other at this point, or is that yet to be determined?
If the commission is comfortable, it may be a good way going forward is we can start drafting an order for the portfolio holder. And as issues arise, if we feel there's some additional discussion, we could request another work session, maybe a shorter one.
Yeah, I would concur with that as a portfolio holder.
And I think the third option, Rob, though, would be, and I don't know, I'm not advocating for this, but you know, so you'd have the question of, in this case, starting a separate docket on proxy pricing in general, or dealing with them for now one by one. If you know, approve them, deny them, and if you deny them, knowing that it might come up in the next rate case.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, with that. Good.
I don't have anything more.
Okay, thanks everybody. This work session is completed.
Thank you.